moving through part of the Gospel of John in the last couple weeks. We are still there. And we are in, this morning, chapter 16. As I've studied this sections that we've been going through, I've found something quite interesting. And that is that if there is a theme in one chapter, in one verse that we're looking at, it's in the next chapter in the same verse. And then when I was this morning looking for a text in another epistle by Paul, I thought, well, I wonder what verse that's in. And it was in the same verse number as well. So we're going to see today that verse 26 in 14 and 15 carry out the theme in 16. Paul says it in Romans 8. Jesus says it in John 14, 15 and 16. And 14 and 15 set the table for 16. And what Jesus says in this section, which is so powerful to me, Paul says it and confirms it in Romans in yet another way. And we're going to see how this all fits together this morning. And I'm really blessed to be able to share this message with you out of John 16, beginning at verse 7. In these intimate last moments with Jesus, he says in John 16, 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Powerful words. And in light of what Jesus is sharing with his disciples and with his friends, and with us, we find what Jesus is talking about when he says, "I will send you a comforter," and what's going to happen in our lives when that happens. But before we take a look at that, let us ask God in a word of prayer to direct us and the words for us this morning. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, that all honor, glory, and praise be yours both now and forever, that you would glorify your name and your word. Those things which endure forever, Heavenly Father, are your word and your name. So let that be manifested now. Manifest yourself to us in this message, even as you promised you would manifest yourself to us. Heavenly Father, thank you for that promise that you've given us. I ask now that as the word comes forth to us, we would receive it with joy, clear minds, and be able to be blessed in ways that we've never thought possible, that we would know how to pray and what to ask for, what to say and what to do to bring glory unto you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask this, so that the words in my mouth, the thoughts in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds, would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. The theme here is that Jesus says, I'm going to send you a comforter for your times of sorrow. Now, I was fully expecting after He said that, when He introduces us to the Holy Spirit, that He would tell us that the Holy Spirit's going to bless us and encourage us. And He doesn't say that. Because He doesn't say that, I have to scratch my head and say, why didn't He say that? Because He said it in one way. And then in another way, He didn't. Because what He said is, I will pray to the Father, and this is in John 14, and He will give you another Comforter, that He would abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He will dwell with you and shall be in you. And then He says right after that, in the same passage, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now, I have to ask myself, if He's sending the Comforter, and the Comforter's job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to comfort you, then why does Jesus have to come and comfort us afterward? Right? If Jesus is going to come comfort us after the Holy Spirit does, why is there a double measure of comfort here? And what does He mean when He says the Holy Spirit is the Comforter? What kind of comfort is He talking about? In other words, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? Do in us as the Comforter. Now, I thought He would say all these nice things about the Holy Spirit, saying, well, the Holy Spirit lets you know that everything's going to be okay. It doesn't do that. If you look, you'll see what it does do. It says this in verse 26. I said the 26s in 14:26. Here's what He says. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I don't know about you, but if I'm uncomfortable, I don't need someone to teach me something. If I'm suffering and struggling, I don't want someone to teach me. I want comfort. Right? If I'm hurting, give me comfort. Don't come here and lecture me. If you know what I mean. So is that what He's saying is happening? That when you're in sorrow and the Holy Spirit comes to you with the power of God, He teaches you. Sort of. But there's something that goes with that. And you've got to know this. And I'll tell you, when you get a grasp on this, it'll really bless you. I know it does me. In 26 in chapter 15, Jesus says again about the Comforter. He says, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and you will bear witness. So, the Comforter's job is to let us know that Jesus is who He said He is. That's a very good insight. That the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you that Jesus Christ is who He is. That is a very important fact of what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Now you might say, well, why does this matter? How does this comfort me? The Apostle Paul talks about it. He says this in Romans 8. He says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you that Christ is real, then that's what quickens you, brings your mortal body to spiritual new life. There's a process that begins to happen when the Holy Spirit comes to you. I like how Paul puts this, and I hope that you hear this. He says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption with which we cry, Abba, Father. That Holy Spirit tells us that we belong to God. Well, that's good news. That's comforting, right? But it goes on, and Paul says something very crucial. He says this, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, the Comforter, is life because of righteousness. Now hear these words, righteousness, truth, conviction of who Christ is, that you know that you belong to God, and then he in Romans 8 says, in verse 26, there's that 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes to us and manifests to us, it teaches us, but what does it teach us? Not only that Christ is, but the Holy Spirit also searches the very depths of who you are. Works right through there to the parts of you you don't even know. All the way down to the very core of who you are, it searches you out and takes this information back to the heart of God. And it searches the depths of God. And it begins to see what God is trying to do to change you, and it comes back with new information for your spirit, which is troubled. And it says, you may be going through some suffering, but this is what God's going to do for you. And He's going to do it for you because He is your Father. And your Father knows what you need. It says before you ask, but it does not imply that you have to ask for Him to know. He knows what you need before you even think to ask. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Now this is the beauty. It says in John 14, if you love one another as Christ has loved you, the Comforter will come to you. He will give you comfort. That is a promise, one of the four promises of God. He will not leave us comfortless. And you know my favorite verse in all of Scripture? Now, I had no idea this was going to be my favorite verse. It's John 14, 21. It says, after He's told us about the Comforter who will abide with us, that He dwells with us and shall be in us, He says that He will not leave us comfortless. Remember I said that Jesus is going to come to us after the Holy Spirit has been made known to us and within us. And Jesus is going to comfort us. Well, the Holy Spirit paves the way. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to make ready for Christ. And then He says, I'm going to be gone for a little while, and I'll come back to you, and when I do come and I'm alive again, this is what He's telling His disciples, who's going to die and come back. He says, on that day when I live again, you'll know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The day you believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the grave on your behalf and intercedes for you is the day that you begin to see that Christ is in you. And then after that is what He says, is 14:21. Now my new favorite verse. I didn't know I would share this with you, but the Lord puts this verse on my heart. I get excited. He says, He that has my commandments and keeps them, which is, love one another as Christ has loved you. He it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Alright, don't miss this. Suppose life is falling apart. You get some bad news.
What about what happens when Jesus walks in? Does the bad news no longer seem so big? What about Peter on the boat in the storm, and Jesus is walking along and he's scared like everybody else, and he says, "It's me, don't be afraid." He says, "If it's you, tell me to get out of the boat." And Jesus says, "It's me, come out." And Peter starts fixing his eye on Jesus, walking out of the boat. And he gets to Jesus, and all of a sudden he looks around and says, "I forgot it was in a storm. Oh my gosh, the winds and the waves are horrible." And he starts to sink. But Jesus grabs a hold of him and pulls him up, and they stand there, and he's no longer worried about the storm. He's no longer saying, "Save me." He's saying, "Let the winds howl. Jesus is with me. Let the storms of life rage. I know Jesus is master of them." If you're convicted of that in your heart and in your very being, that you know that no matter what you face, Christ is there, what kind of strength do you think that gives you? Yeah, a lot. So if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of Christ's reality and that you belong to Him, that means you know. Not you think so, not maybe, you know. That's what Paul says, it's what Jesus says. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince you, you belong to God. And once you're convinced you belong to God, then Jesus can manifest Himself to you and in you. I like that. But there's more. There's more. Because there's a threefold witness of the Holy Spirit that we finally get. You know, we were in John 16. We haven't been there yet. There's a threefold witness that He does. And He says He will reprove or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And for a long time, I really didn't understand those convictions being really comforting. I even wrote it on my notes. I said, "How is it a comfort to be convicted of sin? How is it a comfort to be convicted of judgment? How is it a comfort to be convicted of righteousness when there's none righteous, no, not one? How is that comforting?" And then it says, "Because the truth of God, when you are in the truth, is very comforting." Now, if you look at these three, sin, righteousness, and judgment, Jesus says, the reproof or the conviction of sin is because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit, when it comes to you, will whittle out inside you the parts of you that do not receive Christ. If there's someone in this planet or in this very room that does not believe in Jesus Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit has not been allowed to enter to do that work. As the Holy Spirit gets greater and greater in you and moves through you and searches your spirit and God's spirit, it begins to convince you that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. You cannot, it says in Scripture, confess Jesus Christ as Lord unless He is revealed to you. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Him as the Christ. It's a good thing then. So it's not a bad thing to be reproved of that sin. It means a part of my life might deny Christ, but the Holy Spirit's going to show me that and then clean it out. It's a cleansing. It's a blessing like that. And then He says, of righteousness. For a long time, I couldn't get this one. Thanks to Oswald Chambers and the devotion I've been keeping up with now for quite some time, he explained it. I'd read it before, but I didn't get it. He says that He convicts us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That you are now holy. Well, if you got all the other stuff whittled out, it's gone. was left but the righteousness of the Holy Spirit invested in you? He invests in you. Right? So you are convicted that you are a child of God and righteous. You know how most Christians go? I'm unworthy. I'm just a miserable sinner. Just because of Jesus, I can actually get out of bed. A lot of Christians talk like that. But you know what Scripture says? That He no longer remembers your sins and iniquities. If you don't trust that, look in Hebrews. He says He remembers your sin and iniquity no more. You say, I just messed up so bad. God doesn't know it. He doesn't remember it. He sees you as the righteousness of Himself in Christ Jesus. Good study in Romans will show you that. You are now righteous. And the Holy Spirit will convict you if you let Him cleanse out that thinking that says you're not worthy of God's grace. He wouldn't have given it to you unworthily. He wipes out the handwritings of requirements against you so you can receive His grace and His blessing. That's good news, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit's job then is, first of all, to convince you that Jesus Christ is who He says by getting rid of the things in you that don't believe it. Second thing is to get rid of the things that believe you aren't equal with Christ. Jesus Christ says we are one. Well, I'm not perfect. Jesus never asked us to be perfect acting people. He never did. He says, be holy. And He'll make us holy if we'll let the Holy Spirit do the work. He will do it. There is no way you can fulfill the Christian law of love unless the Holy Spirit helps you. And that's what He's asking us to do, is love one another as He has loved us. And then all this will begin to happen in you. Pretty simple, huh? Yeah. Well, then judgment. And I'll tell you, I've read that so many times I trembled. I said, ooh, all my bad stuff, there's judgment a-coming. You know, for Christians, the day of the Lord and judgment is a good day. I get finally to be revealed as a child of God. And all those people who said God wasn't real get to see that Christ has cloaked us and covered us and embraced us and given us new rest. That's a good day. The judgment is that we are righteous. We are convicted, He says, by the Holy Spirit that the prince of this world is judged. And He's judged as wanting, guilty. Which means the devil and all evil has been judged. Y'all, let me try not to go too far with this, but I love this. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ has already pronounced sentence on the devil. It's already pronounced. When the Holy Spirit starts to come to you and you hear the devil going, well, you know, here's all this sin opportunity and here's all this, and you can say, hey, listen, you're already judged. You have no power over me anymore. You understand, when someone's convicted, their sentence is being carried out. So the devil no longer has any power in your life. You can give him some place. Scripture says don't give place to him because you have the choice. But he's been judged already. And the Holy Spirit will say to your heart, when you start going, well, this is such a temptation, and then the Scripture will come, never has any man undergone a temptation with which there wasn't a way to escape it. For in the moment of your weakness, God will give you the strength to overcome. What is the strength? The Holy Spirit. But do we rely, and have we learned to rely on the blessing of the Holy Spirit? A lot of us have. But did you know there's always more? that there's always more convictions, that He can give you a stronger witness, a stronger inner witness that you belong to God. So strong that you can't stop talking about it. I think when Jesus says all these things, after He says these things about sin, righteousness, and judgment, when He says, I have a lot more to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. Do you know why He told the disciples that? I can tell you why. Because He hadn't been resurrected and they were still being convicted of their sin. They hadn't been free yet. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. They couldn't hear anything else. So He says, and He says to us the same thing, however, in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you to the truth. All truth. He will not speak about Himself, but whatever He hears from the Father and from Me, He will speak it, and He will show you the things that are coming. And that, things that are coming, is to show you God's provision when things don't look so good. And then He says, He shall glorify Me, for He will receive what I have, and He's going to show it to you. I almost want to say a lot about that. He'll receive what I have, says Jesus, and He'll show it to you. Well, why won't He give it to me? If He's receiving what you have, why won't the Holy Spirit give it to me? And Jesus says, clearly, because I'm following and I'm bringing it. If you let Him do His work in you, I'm entering into your life completely, and all I have is going to be yours. The Holy Spirit will show it to you as a promise, and I'll deliver it. That's good news. I don't know about you, but how would you like to have a direct throne access through the Holy Spirit to hear what Jesus has for you? Holy Spirit says, I got it right here. I'm not the delivery boy, but I can tell you what it is. The Holy Spirit makes all the promises, and Jesus makes the delivery. Do you understand why this stuff is so wonderful now? Why I get excited about it? Because God's got more for us than we can ever think or imagine. He's going to do more than we could ever hope or dream. But what if we're having a bad day? Or we hear bad news. Or something happens. Let me tell you how this works. Case in point. Christmas Eve. Early in the morning. Actually, if you were awake on Friday, you would call it Friday night, the day before Christmas Eve. But my sons and I are driving to Florida. Having a nice trip. We're through Ocala, Florida. All of a sudden, it's a little chilly in the car, so I turn the heater on. And no heat's coming. I said, oh, the heater core must be clogged. I'll have to check it out. I look at the gauge. It says temperature's normal, so I know it's not overheating. Right? Well, shortly thereafter, I said, I need some gas, so I'm going to pull into the next exit. As I pull into the next exit, there's steam billowing out of this overheated car. And I roll right up next to a pump at a gas station there in South Ocala, near Bellevue. And I sit there after midnight on Friday night, which would be Christmas Eve morning. And the car won't start. It is so hot, you wouldn't want to touch it, let alone start it. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, my sons probably are worried. So what do I tell them? They said, Dad, the car won't start. What are we going to do? And I said, let me tell you something, son. God has something in mind for us. We don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be really good. And they said, okay, Dad. And they were comforted. Because I knew something was going to happen good. They didn't see or know what I was going to do. But as long as I said everything is going to be the way it's supposed to, they were comforted. All right? I, in that situation, am the messenger from God to them. The acting out of the Holy Spirit. I have received from God that He's going to do something. And it's going to be okay. So I communicate that with my sons. As soon as they hear, it's going to work out just fine. They weren't scared. The car hadn't started. They couldn't go anywhere. But they weren't panicky. But it was a bad situation. Do you understand then that the Holy Spirit's job is to let you know God is in control? And if you belong to Him, which is what the Holy Spirit convicts you of also, then He'll take care of it. It's a knowing. It's a conviction. We're still not in Ocala. We made it. Did everything we wanted to do. Not the way we planned it, but better. Better. Because the blessing that we got through that experience showed us that God knows what He's doing. And me personally, I just trusted God. I said, God, You're the one who takes care of it. You take care of it. And He did. Always does. So let me ask you this question. When things get a little hard, health gets a little bad, do you still know God is in control? If you do, and you have a comfort in your times of sorrow, the Holy Spirit is doing His job. If you don't have a comfort at those times, you need the Holy Spirit. All you have to do in response to this promise of Christ is to say, Heavenly Father, reveal Yourself to me. Give me Your Spirit that I may know You. That's all. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, You're more than willing to give us the Spirit if we would just ask. You tell us that in the Gospels. And it's Your delight to give us the kingdom. And so we ask as we gather this morning, Heavenly Father, the places in our lives where we need conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that You'd have Your way with us so that Jesus can usher in the comfort Himself. Bring Yourself to us, Lord Jesus. Come to us. Establish Yourself in us and us in You. The greatest promise of all is that You will reveal Yourself to us. So do that. Make it a way. There seems to be no way for that to happen. And show us that You are who You are by revealing Yourself to us. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Page 46,
fill
my cup, Lord.
On page 46, we find our closing. Is that got verses or just a chorus?
It's got a few verses.
We'll sing the first verse of Fill My Cup, Lord. If you have not yet experienced any of the blessings of the Holy Spirit, then by all means, let this be a time of you to ask God to say, reveal Yourself to me. I'm going to love just like Jesus loves me.